And we're broadcasting live from our Southern California Bay studios. Welcome back. One last segment. Joined right now by a guard for the Portland Trailblazers. He was having a big year. 23 points, more than 4 rebounds, and 4 assists per game this season. A member of the NBA Players Association Executive Committee, the Pride of Lehigh. Host of Pull Up with CJ McCollum. Good friend of the program. CJ is back. CJ, first and foremost, how are you and your family doing during this very challenging time?
Well, we're doing well. We're hanging in there. Obviously, it's a tough situation for everyone, you know, throughout the world. But we're trying to stay safe, staying in the house, abiding by the social distancing rules, and really just taking the time to really grow closer together. I think that's all you can do.
That is all you can do. In fact, well, that's all you can do, but you are doing more than that, which I'll get to in a minute. Now, you know I'm always going to ask you about your brother, Eric. Am I correct in thinking, is he back home after the season was suspended in Russia, and how is he doing?
Yeah, he's doing well. I appreciate you asking. He just got home a few weeks ago, and his wife is actually pregnant, so he had to quarantine himself for a little while before he went home, you know, just to make sure everything was all right with him going through the airports and having to fly through New York, but he's home. He's safe. He's enjoying his time back here in the United States, and looking forward to obviously, you know, getting back out there and playing once everything kind of, you know, smooths over.
Good. CJ McCollum is joining us. Now, you've been very generous in committing money to support COVID-19 relief programs in and around Portland and in Canton, Ohio. So, how does it feel to be in a position where you can give back and help out when people are in need?
It's amazing. To be able to help people, obviously this is a tough time for a lot of folks, and I'm in a position where I can help contribute, you know, not just with financially, but with my time. And I think that's what I've always tried to do, is be generous with that, understanding that I'm blessed and fortunate to be in this position. But really near and dear to me is my hometown, Canton, Ohio, so I want to make sure I helped out as much as I can from a food and financial standpoint. And the Boys and Girls Club here in Oregon is special to me and has been a part of my life since I was a child. So I'm thankful I was able to help them out and provide them with some more resources that they would have lacked during this time.
Now, also, one of the things you've done during this time is you've become a, quote, dog dad after you and Elise adopted a puppy. So how did you go about picking Fiona, and what is life like with her?
Yeah, it's been an interesting ride. My fiance actually backdoored me. She called the Oregon dog rescue and fostered a puppy behind my back and tell me until I got home. So we went to go pick it up, and she basically asked for a Rottweiler because she knew that I grew up with Rottweilers and wanted a bigger dog. And they had a Bull Mastiff and Sharpei that was coming in from California. And we were supposed to foster for a week. We ended up adopting after a week and a half. And she's been great. She's adjusting. She's become more comfortable with us and just being around the house. And has only used the bathroom in the house, I don't know, 4 times in 3 weeks. So we're making good pace, but she's 2 for 2 the last 2 days on peeing on the white carpet.
Of course, right? CJ McCollum is joining us, no doubt. All right, so this is the time of year when you should be battling for a playoff spot. So what's it like to have it completely shut down and not even be able to go to the facility?
It's weird, man, honestly. It's weird to be home so much and to not be able to do the things you're accustomed to, driving to the facility, working out, using the steam room, cold tub, hot tub. You know, you take a lot of that stuff for granted until it's taken away from you. But just your sense of normalcy has changed. You just have to be more comfortable and get used to being in the house, get used to being away from people, using technology to your advantage, and trying to work out the best way you can with what you were able to, you know, provide for yourself. And staff has done a great job of bringing us stuff that we need, dumbbells and medicine balls and ladders and stuff for us to use in the house.
I was going to say, so how are you staying in shape and how are you working out? What's that regimen like?
I work out at night. I actually purchased the Kaiser. Well, Kaiser gifted me a bike for a little bit, and a little rental, and I can purchase it later. And we bought a Peloton and lots of kettlebells. Jump rope, you just kind of make do with what you have. Obviously, outside there's plenty of space as long as you're staying away from people where you can get some stuff done. Med ball slams, ladders, agility stuff, balance, lunges, squats, all those types of things to kind of keep moving and stay as fit as possible. But obviously, without basketball, it's going to be hard to stay in game shape.
Yeah, I was going to say, staying in shape is one thing. Staying in basketball shape is another. CJ, my Peloton is a lifesaver. This thing is saving me right now. Do you like that product?
I do. I do. My fiance is a huge fan of it. I know a lot of guys are riding, you know, across the country and being able to ride with friends. So I may order another one for myself. But we're kind of running out of room in this little area we've created as our small fitness center. So I'll have to think about what I want to do and how I want to approach it. But we might end up getting another Peloton.
No, I got you. You know, it all seems pretty clear that the league is looking at a number of different options when it comes to resuming the season. One option, of course, has come up with this idea of everybody being in a bubble in a place like Vegas. When you consider, CJ, how many people would need to be in that bubble and then have everybody in the bubble isolated from everybody outside of the bubble, does that feel like a realistic option to you?
Yeah, it sounds tough right now. It sounds far-fetched, but I think if there's a will, there's a way. I like that we're willing to explore a lot of different opportunities and options, but you know, putting those options into play and actually execute them are going to be tough. I think yesterday they needed to shut down the Vegas Strip, but from what I've heard, the Strip is already basically a ghost town with people kind of staying indoors and staying away from some of those larger crowds. So I think there's a way to execute it. If there is a way, the NBA will figure it out. It's just a matter of trying to do what's right for the masses and keep everybody safe and put health first.
All right, so how close are you to game shape right now? And then how much time would you need to be ready to play in a game if the season were to resume?
I'm trying to stay close. So I'd say I'm like 7 to 10 days away of like really, really being able to compete. But as we go more days, you know, that gap kind of widens because you can only do so much without actually playing 1-on-1, 2-on-2, 5-on-5. And that chemistry, that camaraderie, that rhythm, that feel shifts and changes, you know, the longer you're away from the game. So I think it would take a lot of guys a lot of time depending on how long it takes.
I was going to say, speaking of one-on-one, you've been trying to get a one-on-one tournament going as part of the All-Star Weekend for a while now. So, like, how would you like to see that event go? Would that be something where the league were to seed players and go like that? Or do you want guys calling other guys out and picking their own opponents?
I think a combination of both would be cool. You know, I'm sure there's some players that would love to have the opportunity to call someone out and go head-to-head against them. And I'm sure there's some favorable matchups the league would like to see. So I think there's a way to go about it in which you can make all parties happy. And if some people don't want to participate, they don't have to. I think it's free will. If you want to get some run in or get some rec, you show up. And if you don't, you don't.
All right, so if you had a chance to call somebody out, who would you like to go up against? What would be a good matchup for you?
I would just like to go up against elite players, like all the elite players. There's a lot of great one-on-one players in the NBA. There's a lot of under-the-radar players in the NBA as well that maybe don't have the recognition but can still hoop. So I just like to compete, so I would like to go up against all the elite guards, all of them. It would be fun, and you kind of get to steal moves from people. Like, it's one thing to watch and play against them in a game. It's another thing to go one-on-one, and that's when you really are able to, you know, iron sharpen iron and steal moves. And I'm the king of stealing people's moves and adding to my arsenal.
Speaking of moves, it came up on your podcast, the 5 most unstoppable moves in NBA history, and the list includes AI's crossover, MJ's fadeaway, Mono's Eurostep, Kareem's skyhook, and the Dream Shake. Which one of them to you is the most unstoppable of those 5?
Woo. Most unstoppable. I say skyhook and the Jordan fade, but obviously I wasn't around for a lot of the skyhooks. I was watching film on it, you know what I'm saying? So that's my perspective. But if you base it on rings and success rate and percentage, you have to go that skyhook was a high percentage shot and unstoppable.
Now, I was going to say, like, it's not my favorite of the 5, but how do you defend it?
You can't. No, you can't.
That'd be my take. I don't even know how where you would start or how you would go about defending it. So yeah, what about though? Like, would you want that shot? I know you can't defend it. I know that Kareem is Kareem. I know he's the guy. But like, if that were the thing, your go-to, would you want to be known for that? Like, if that were in your arsenal, would you be proud of that? Would that be your thing? Would you like that?
I mean, I'm 6'3", 6'4", so right. It's hard for that to be my thing. But if I had that and it was unblockable and unstoppable, I wouldn't mind it.
Why not,
whatever
right?
It takes to win. Yeah, whatever it takes to win. But I'm more of the crossover fadeaway type, floater type, Because I'm not 7 foot. I don't have that type of skills. My skill set is different and unique to my body and size.
I get that. I understand that. All right. So this past Monday would have been the end of the NCAA tournament. If we were to go back a little bit, when you were at Lehigh, you led that team to a legendary win over Duke as a 15 seed. You had 30 points in that game. What do you remember about that game?
I remember the atmosphere. First and foremost, a lot of fans stayed. You know, North Carolina fans stayed and watched us cheer against Duke. I just remember the excitement, the rush you get from playing in the tournament, playing on the big stage, being able to hit big shots, get stops, and just compete against elite players. I think that was the thing I missed most about not playing, just being able to compete against quality talent.
He is a friend of the program. He is the pride of Lehigh. He is the host of Pull Up with C.J. McCollum. 23 points, more than 4 rebounds, and 4 assists per game. Also a member of the NBA Players Association Executive Committee. C.J., great to spend time with you. I know you'd much rather be out there doing what you do, but great to have you on the show, and thanks for sharing your thoughts, as always. Appreciate you.
No problem, man. I appreciate you having me on, as always.
Always good to have you, C.J. Thanks so much. Boys, appreciated him giving us access and coming on the program.